Hello, hello. How
How
are
you
you?
doing?
We be home. I'm doing. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
Well, first and foremost, welcome back. You have been missed.
Well, thank you.
But all right, but we know sabbaticals do the soul very well. So, with that being said, welcome to this Black Girl Podcast. I am one half of your host, Ola.Miss.Lola on Instagram.
And I'm the other half of your host at TheHillDiva on Instagram.
And you can follow our page at this Black Girl Podcast again on Instagram. Or if you want to tweet us on Twitter, it is at this Black Girl P. Because we couldn't fit podcasts, so it is what it is.
Twitter would have cut it off, right?
Right? But with that being said, girl, let's get into it. Let's get into the tea. We already know this month is National Domestic Violence Month. Is
It
that
is
the full
woman
title?
abuse. It's called Woman Abuse Awareness Month.
Okay, sorry. Then I'm confusing it with the American one that just happened in October.
There you
My
go.
bad.
But same thing anyway, same concept, which is creating awareness for domestic violence against women and the supports as well. So not just the violence and being vigilant with your family and friends, but also finding about the community as well. So for me,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Well, because
Sorry, what
my
was you gonna
question.
say?
I was just gonna say, my question to you is because it's like awareness and help, but like, I'm not even sure what are the best ways to help because I already know half the time if you do notice or see somebody in an abusive situation, it's always you can't always tell them like, "Hey, girl, leave that situation." Like they're not just gonna get up and leave. Or if they do, it could cause more harm than good. So like, I don't know. You're more versed in this realm than I am. So I'm asking you.
Yeah, so it is a good question because a lot of people, I've been in situations even where I've seen stuff happen, and even before, because right now, if obviously people don't know, but I do work in a violence against women space. Where people, it's basically a service for women, obviously. So the space that I'm working in, I'm not going to say exactly where it is, but
No.
yeah, so it is a place, it's a resource for women. So being in that space, you definitely learn a lot, and you realize how serious and how urgent the issue is. Because before that, no one's really, I wouldn't say no one, but the average person isn't always walking around in life thinking how much abuse is happening, th thinking how many women sleep in a shelter at night, how many women and children sleep in a shelter at night, which in Canada it's actually over 6,000.
Oh.
Yeah, over 6,000 women and children each night sleep in shelters. So think of how many people that is, calling each day, right? So that's just
Right.
every night. So think of on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, in a yearly
Right.
basis.
Those.
So,
No, I was just saying, so those numbers just add up. It like skyrockets.
Right, exactly. But in to circle back onto your question about, how to deal with that situation if somebody, if you see something, definitely anything in front of, for example, their partner, if the abuser is right there, like if I wouldn't say something like, "Hey, leave him," right there in front of the guy, because a lot of times that will exacerbate the situation and make the man angry, right? Like the person's already doing whatever. They usually say if like obviously that's like immediate danger, and if someone has a gun or something or whatever, call 911. That's always, an option. But let's say, you're with your cousin, for example, and her boyfriend's just extra controlling, or your cousin decides to talk and the boyfriend's like, "No, I told you you can't talk. Don't talk like that, or don't talk to her anymore." Things like
Right.
that, because people just assume that the physical, but there's a lot of cues that happen before it even gets physical in a lot of cases, right? I can't speak for every case. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the thing I was going to say, because a lot of times people think of, when they think of like domestic violence, they automatically assume it's just physical harm to another person.
Exactly. But
there's other forms of abuse, right? Like there's verbal abuse, there is emotional abuse, there is mm-hmm. mental abuse, and like
financial abuse.
Yep, you know, financial abuse.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I'm not sure.
There is, and you pretty much covered all of them. That is the majority of them, right? It's okay. Not just physical. Physical is, of course, physical is just the most visible. Because, you know, someone walks in, they have a bruise or a black eye or whatever, you'll know, right? So
right.
But a lot of times you won't know if that's from, you know, a partner, because a lot of times, you know, excuses can be made just to kind of just due to the shame that is associated with it as well. So that's one reason why November is such an important month, because we want to reinforce that we want to end violence. We want to stop
having
shame, because you know, an abused victim, it may sound like somebody somewhere out there, but any moment it could be me, it could be you, it could be, you know, your neighbor, it could be your doctor, it could be your anyone, you know, can be a victim of abuse, right? So it's not
right
us and them, it's just all of us, you know. So that's the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because like I know personally, I've been in situations where there's been physical violence. I've been in situations where there's been emotional violence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I don't know, I'll say for myself, obviously the physical stuff, you see it, it's in your face, right? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
I already can click and know like, okay, that's wrong, and hopefully enforce a boundary. Thankfully, I didn't get too far where I felt like I didn't have control of the relationship or the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the emotional one, I will admit, snuck up on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like I didn't mm-hmm. realize that I was in an emotionally abusive relationship until like, mm-hmm. I want to say the last year of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like there's so many like invisible, invisible like signs. Like, mm-hmm. especially a lot of people talk about gaslighting now. You yes. know, where they're like, oh, you're being gaslit. He's gaslighting her. She's gaslighting him, whatever. But it's mm-hmm. like, it's so real.
It's a real thing. In the moment, yep.
So, so, so real.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so there's like issues like gaslighting, there's emotional blackmail. Where the person will try and like almost call your bluff, you know, mm-hmm. to be like, oh, mm-hmm. like, cause like I've had moments where it's like the relationship was at a breaking point where it's like it should have just ended, like we should have just broken up, but mm-hmm. it was like, oh, okay, well, where are you gonna go? Who's gonna want you? Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like mm-hmm. forcing you to almost question yourself. Mm-hmm. And question your self-worth mm-hmm. to be like, is this all I deserve to stay with? Is that all I deserve to have?
Yep.
Because,
and yes, you know? Keep going. No, yep.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's wild, because, like, once you're out of the situation, you can definitely see all the signs.
Exactly.
But, hindsight's a bitch. Exactly. That's all I can say.
No, but you're so right. And the thing is that you hit on there, that's so real for women as well, and why it's so important to bring light to this, because a lot of people even say, oh, so what, you know, men get abused too, you know, why are there, you know, for example, women's shelters and women's services, why are there specific stuff, because, you know, there are a lot of men out there that are victims of violence as well, and yeah. No one's saying that men are not, you know, being abused at all somewhere, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just that services are so necessary for women because of the natural power struggle between men and women. You know, women started yeah. off not having rights, not anything, right? And so we're always behind historically, and literally, you know, in most cases we're a little bit physically weaker than men. We're not all of us can take on a guy. You know what I mean? So yeah. By nature, you know what I mean? Just by nature, right? So just because of that natural power dynamic where, you know, the man is supposed, and we live, the fact that we live in a patriarchy, let me put it that way. I don't want to talk about nature, but just because of the fact that we do live in a patriarchy, men do have a lot more privilege than women. You know, that's where all these other economic abuse, you know, emotional abuse, them having control of, you know, the home, or whether a woman leaves or sees her family, because, you know, men can get controlling, you know, especially if something happens in their life, like if they lose their job or something like that, and they're stuck at home, that can perpetuate a lot of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
But what hit me on what hit the nail on the head for me was when you said, for example, you know, when they question you, like, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? That hits hard for women, for me as a woman, because especially like, let's say you're pregnant and you actually are depending on the man, you know, once you have children, once you become a mom, now you're living for your kids, right? So there's definitely a lot of space for an abuser to say things like that. Like, what are you going to do now? You know you have a child now. Now you're thinking for two. And these are the things that will cause a woman to stay in a situation instead of seeking out services. You
for
know?
Sure, because then the question gets asked, like, at least I can speak for myself, is just kind of mm-hmm. like, it's like a survival mode. Okay, like you said, like, okay, exactly. Well, now I have this child. How am I going to make sure that they have a roof over their head and make sure that they're fed or make sure that they're safe or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just like my situation was very exploitive in the sense of just like, I was obviously like, I was working at one point. I wasn't working because of just being in an accident, but mm-hmm. I was working. I was also making sure that she was getting to and from school, making sure she's fed, roof over her head, stuff like that. If things went wrong where I was living, I had to look after it. If things had to be done, I had to look after it. Food had to be made. I was literally carrying the whole world on my back. But at the same time, mm-hmm. it's just like, because there was this weird, because I can't even say it's consistent, because even like the financial contributions and stuff like that was so inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And like the physical contribution was non-existent, so I don't even, like, looking back, I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get why I stayed.
Why did I stay?
Because it's like, yeah. There was nothing there for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. at the time, you feel like, okay, well, I need something, but rather than nothing, to try
right.
and survive,
and you fear the unknown, right? And it goes back to the most basic instinct of just, I know I'm at least, I know what I'm dealing with here. It's not even like, I know I'm safe here. It's just, I know what to expect here, but I don't know what to expect out there. Right.
Right.
And unfortunately though, what the scary element is in that thinking is that sometimes you don't know what to expect here. You know, like when things have progressed and an abuser is threatening and getting physical and really starting to have a lot of aggressive behavior, that's mm-hmm. when you don't know what to expect. You know, that's why I feel bad for some of these women. You'll hear in the news, there'll be women that are, for example, there's a young girl named, I believe her name was Kaylee. And mm-hmm. her mom and stepdad were fighting to keep her away from her biological father. Mm-hmm. And they were fighting in the courts. He had been, I believe, abusive with the mom, possibly physically. I don't want to say that because I don't have the story in front of me, but she just had safety concerns for the child. So they're going back and forth in court trying to fight tooth and nail to keep the child away. And the courts were, you know, backing the father. Unfortunately, even though there were proof of domestic violence, calls to 911. Like there was some sort of violence, like not necessarily physical abuse. There was some sort of abuse, because it was emotional, definitely in the past towards the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got so bad that one day she dropped off her daughter for the last time. And unfortunately, her came back, and they were searching and searching and searching for the father. And I really want to look up to so I can find their names, because the mom has since then been campaigning so that other families don't go through this. But in the end, they found that the father took their daughter at like midnight up the coast of a cliff and threw her off and then jumped off of himself. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. After the mom. Yes. And it's scary. And this is obviously a very serious case where the abuse it escalates, you know, all the way. Right. But the unfortunate thing is that this is not uncommon. You know what I mean? It's and it's not unheard of. You know, it actually does happen. I remember a few years ago on Valentine's Day, there was an 11-year-old girl, and she was so adorable. And I believe she was born on Valentine's Day. And I believe it was her and her mother's birthday the same day, if I remember correctly. And it was a similar situation. The mother and the father, they weren't together. She had made about his mental health and the fact that he had been subjecting her to a lot of abuse. Mm-hmm. And he never brought the daughter back. And again, the same similar situation happened. He ended up shooting his daughter and then shooting himself. And the police, however, were sent to his house in time, though, and they tried to save him. However, I believe he died like after they tried to save him in the hospital. But he had killed the daughter. Yeah. And it's just sad, these cases. And that's what's it's also kind of controversial as well, because in the court system, a lot of victims feel like they're not getting justice. They feel like they're, you know, they're crying and crying out for help, but getting adequate help from the services that are in place, right? The legal services, right? So, and it's also, and from the other standpoint, it's like there's the law that's protecting the father's rights to raising their child, whether or not, you know, they're abusive to the mom, right? However, unfortunately, at times child abuse is linked to you know, intimate partner violence as well, right? So,
right. I mean, that's wild. That, like, I will say it breaks my heart to know that, like, other people have those types of issues, like, those moments happen to them, because it's just, like, I could never even wrap my head around the thought of, like, losing my child. Because, honestly, if he did that, I'd kill him. straight up, I'd kill him. Not alleged. just saying.
And that's the thing, like, that, and that, it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. Right. And there's families, you know, living right now, having to live with the aftermath of abuse. And that's why, honestly, I feel like a lot of, just in my own research on my own time, when I read these articles and stories, and it always makes me think that we need to somehow open up the floor for men's mental health to be sort of funded, some sort of, you know, accessible, open forum for men, so that they can literally just unwind, come up, you know, after work, unwind, go relax, talk to other men, you know, and
honestly, not even talk to other men. I was going to say, don't talk to other men. Talk to a therapist, period.
Other men. But what I mean is, yes, other men, but maybe male therapists. You know what I mean? Like, they need to be able, the same way that we women cry on each other's shoulders, support, or just lean on each other and have, like, a sisterhood, they need to have a brotherhood, other men of influence that they can look to for support. Because a female, you know, you're not always going to want an opposite sex, you know, giving you advice and, you know, relating to you on a certain level. So that's more what I mean. Like, other like-minded men. Yeah,
I agree. Like, how, you know, us girls will have our group chats, we'll have, like, you know, we'll have our call up and vent sessions and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like ladies' nights and things like that. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Basically, I was talking about
for them having a support group and having, like, times that we make for us as women to unwind, de-stress, all of that stuff, essentially to do the same thing for men.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, I was saying we just need more support systems like that, communal, yeah, and collective, where men can just come together, exactly, and not only just have fun, but just have a safe space to express themselves.
Well, you know? I agree. I think that's way more important than having like a guys' night or anything, because guys don't necessarily get together to kind of do that, like you said, to express their feelings and things like that. And I think it's super important for men to have a safe space to actually vocalize and describe what they're feeling, because sometimes they'll feel a ways and they don't even know what it means.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And I had watched this TV show and there was a character on there. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. It was a reality show. But anyways, one of these men ended up being from some Caribbean island, and he created a barbershop. He had a rough lifestyle himself. He grew up, ended up becoming a barber, and kind of found his way out of a rough lifestyle. So what he started to do to give back was give free haircuts to men. And and just come talk to them about their day. You know, the barbershop. I don't know if anyone's seen the movie Barbershop. If you haven't, watch it, but... it just shows how the barbershop is like the center of the community, and everyone comes in and out. And this guy did that and created a collective little fellowship place for men to come get a free haircut at that, help them, and talk about, you know, their life, stress with their girlfriend, whatever it was. And he tried to hire them that way. So I thought it was nice. That would be a nice thing.
That's true.
Back to the topic, the topic at hand is women. So I just wanted to go back and talk about that, because I just feel like the fact that it's Women Awareness Month, we got to push. The fact that more women just need to speak out, you know, like we can do as much as we want for other people, but in the end, if as an action, like you're choosing to do that action, and more speak out. Yeah, just to speak out, bring awareness to what they're going through.
Well, I've also heard a lot of people who suggest, like, okay, if you can't, like, let's say you can't get out of the situation, let's say it's one of the extremes where the person's very violent, there's been people who say, like, you know, try and open like a secret bank account, you know, using like, for example, like a prepaid debit cards, prepaid Visa cards, because they're not necessarily tied down at a specific bank. So if you just go to an ATM, like, it just looks like you're just using the ATM, right? You're not necessarily going to a specific bank. You can't necessarily go into a teller and say, like, I want this account open, closed, or whatever, because it doesn't exist in a regular facility. They said, like, you know, try to have as much evidence and give copies to like a close and trusted friend or family. Obviously document as much evidence as possible so that you have, you know, receipts on your side.
I'm trying to think
of like what other tips. Like, it's, and it's sad that you have to think that way, but it's just like,
I know, so
for example, the story that I heard most recently, there was this 29-year-old TikTok star who was arrested recently because he had shot and killed his estranged wife and a friend of hers.
Oh my gosh.
Because, like, apparently he had been abusive to her for a period of time. They had separated, but I guess they kept in contact of some sort because of they had a child together. She was at the family home, and I guess she had accidentally pocket dialed him or something, and she heard another person in the background, which was a man, like a man's voice, and just assumed it was a boyfriend or a lover of some sort or whatever, flew into a rage, popped up at the house, and shot them both dead.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is unbelievable. And how recent is that?
Oh, very recent. Like, this happened, like, I want to say just last week.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Like, it was really bad.
That is really terrible. That is absolutely terrible. Because I didn't even hear about that. That's why I'm like, I usually, research a lot of these situations and people. So that is absolutely tragic. And to think that happened because of a pocket dial. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Unstable mental health, clearly on his part.
I was going to say, I will read you the article.
Yeah.
This was based off of CBS News, and it just pretty much says a TikTok star. Okay, I don't want to hear the fluff. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says Ali Abu. I'm gonna say this name so wrong, so I'm sorry for butchering the name. But Ali Abulaban. He was 29, mm-hmm. pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder charges and being held without bail. If he's convicted, he can face the death penalty. He's known as mm-hmm. Jin Kid on TikTok. Whatchamacallit? The family's has known him to be extremely jealous and, you know, loses his temper or whatever. And one of the cousins were quoted as saying he just became super jealous because his wife was going out with friends and he wasn't involved. He just wanted to control her. He wanted to know what she was doing every time of the day. And he apparently thought that when they had separated in October, he thought the separation was temporary. He was in denial, thinking they were going to get back together. According mm-hmm. to prosecutors, he returned to the apartment last Thursday, and this was based off of October 29th.
Mm-hmm.
He returned to the apartment last Thursday and installed an app on the iPad belonging to the couple's 5-year-old daughter that allowed him to listen in on conversations. So it wasn't even a butt dial.
Oh,
okay?
My gosh.
Prosecutors said he shot and killed his wife and the man and the friend in the apartment later that day after listening to her speaking with a man.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So he actually installed a listening device on the child's iPad.
That is so vindictive.
Yes. Like, and heard her speaking with another man who he assumed she was, I don't know, intimate with, whatever. And yeah, and then first apparently on the 911 call, he confessed to what he did. But then now that he's arrested and everything, he's saying not guilty.
It's just despicable.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, I don't even say that because of course when everybody knows that, I want to say not guilty now that reality set in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was even a case.
The wild thing is just like he went and he picked up his child after school or after whatever mm-hmm. daycare or wherever the child was, picked up the child, drove to the place with the child in the car.
Oh my gosh.
Where did she drop her? Because he dropped her somewhere first. Where was it? I'm looking for it in the thing. Because she asked him to move out on October 18th. He moved into a hotel. He had secretly kept a key. So he snuck back into the apartment, trashed it, mm-hmm. installed a listening device on the tablet, and then snuck back out. He was listening via the app, heard the man's voice, and heard them talking and giggling. And so he rushed back to the apartment, took the elevator to the 35th floor, ran into the apartment and just shot them. He shot the man 3 times and then shot her once in the forehead.
Oh my goodness. And see, that brings me also to
technology.
This is unbelievable.
Here's the other part. So it says he then he made a phone call to his mother admitting that he shot and killed his wife. He then went to pick up his daughter from school with the loaded gun still in his car.
Oh my gosh.
And told his daughter that he hurt mommy and that he was going to get apprehended by the police.
Oh my, this is just too much.
And the police stopped him and arrested him 45 minutes later. The child was still in the car.
Mm-mm.
And it's just like hearing the story makes me almost think like, I'm thankful he called somebody and said that what he did, because if people didn't hear what was going on sooner rather than later, it probably would have ended up like one of your stories where he then went and killed his 5-year-old child too.
You
and
never
himself.
Know.
You well, it just know. Seems like yeah. it. It seems like yeah. it was going that way.
Yeah, because for like, and why would you tell your child that? Like, oh my God, what you've taken her mom, and it's just so scary on different levels for me too. Because anyone, like this man, just anyone can put a listening device on my device without me knowing. Is that what you're telling me right now? And this man used this against his ex-wife. And yeah. it's just, that is a very scary situation. And the fact that this woman didn't even know it was coming, like she's living her life. So she literally had no chance to try and do something, you know?
Well, I was going to say the other fact of the matter is the man also had a secret key.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And that's why I say for certain circumstances, like women who kick their mans out, whatever, change your fucking locks.
I know.
Change the, like, literally.
Immediately. Yeah.
Like, deadbolts can be expensive. Don't get me wrong. Like, they are. But it's worth it, though. And if you can't afford to change. Yeah, if you can't afford to change your lock, put one of those deadbolt hinge locks. Where, like, somebody can unlock the door, but they can't actually get into the house because of that part.
Yeah.
You know?
That's actually really good. And those really should be free to be, in my opinion.
Well, like, my condo has one. Like my condo, like, my door has one. I use it, even though I thankfully don't need to. But... you never know, girl. You never know. It doesn't have to be a crazy ex. It could just be a crazy man. There was a woman who captured on her video doorbell a man that followed her to her front door.
Mm-mm.
Okay? She had a little dog. She picked up the dog. She went inside the house, locked the door. The man followed her up to her door, trying to see if he could break in.
Mm-mm.
He couldn't get in through the front door. He started checking her windows. He went around the back. Neighbors spotted him, and so he started picking up the hose, watering the lawn, acting like he was hired to be there, and didn't say nothing because he looked somewhat legit, sitting on the porch like it's some worker or like a friend waiting for her to come home. Mm-mm. Thank God for that fucking video doorbell recording this whole thing.
Right.
But like
I know.
Like it's wild. It's and the thing is, like, God bless that thankfully a lot of men aren't like this. And it's the few whack jobs that make, you know, that unfortunately put a poor name on men. But like it makes me sad though when, you know, women like you and myself, we try to explain like, oh well, we have to wear this to look out for this, or we have to do that and do all these extra steps, and guys are like, why you think something's gonna happen? Yes, something can happen very easily, all the time.
That's so
true. I've had men following me home since I was in elementary school. Since I was 12 and 13, I've had men following me out of stores, down the street. Like, it's scary how common it is, you know?
Very true.
I've had men follow me through malls.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's the thing is, like, when you're a guy, I don't know what their perspective is, but you don't understand what it's like to just be afraid. You know, at nighttime, for example, just to walk outside at night. Being afraid and like, not even just be afraid, but being in someone else's presence and knowing that, you know, if this person wanted to, you know, pin me down or whatever, they could, because I'm weaker than them, you know, just naturally.
Right.
That is, and for that being a very real fear, like, men, I feel like maybe some guys do understand that. I mean, obviously guys compete against each other too, but like, mm-hmm. just being a woman and having to be careful of what, being mindful of, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear this because I don't want to attract unwanted attention. Maybe I shouldn't do this because I don't want attention, you know, like.
Right. Yeah.
Being
yeah.
catcalled, you know what I mean? Being catcalled and having to worry about little things.
That feel like nothing is like, you're holding your breath being like, is like, you're holding your breath wondering like, what's going to happen? Like, am I okay? Can I?
Right. Just fearing can I walk strangers, away from the situation? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like fearing strangers, you know? And I remember I have never an actual situation with like a random man being violent with me, but mm-hmm. I have had like a sexual kind of, I feel like it was a sexual harassment, but okay. I'll just call it, it was more like an, no, actually it was more like an indecent exposure.
Okay.
On the GO bus a long time ago, back when in our university days, so I was probably like 19, maybe 20. Actually, no, I was 19 because I remember it was when I was taking the bus, obviously, in my very first year.
Yeah.
So I'm on the GO bus and I see this car that speeds up and slows down to beside me on the bus. And I'm like at the middle of the bus. So I'm thinking, why isn't he, you know, going forward all the way? But I'm like, whatever, I'm not paying mind. I look inside and I see a man. But then the bus takes off and the man, it just looked like he was like bouncing his hand on his knee, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, the bus drives off. I notice, I look down when we're at a stop sign and he's racing to get beside me again. I look down and the man's crouching to like look me because the roof was kind of blocking his view of me. I look at him, the guy's freaking jerking off.
Ew.
Staring me in my eyeballs. Yes. Because I properly now look because I'm wondering, why is this car hovering right beside, you know? The guy, it was a nasty 40-year-old pot belly friggin' Santa Claus looking man. Like, I felt so disgusting. I wanted to like cry. I was so like, ew, what is, I felt so dirty. But honestly, and I'm telling you, I was dating a Jamaican at the time. I don't, and he's like, leave the man, I'm just doing thing. And I'm like, I was so
violent. Like, that's not okay.
I was like, how dare you? I was like, how dare? You know what I mean? It was so nasty. And immediately, though, it just showed me that, like, holy crap. Like, I had no hand in what just happened. But I feel ashamed. I feel dirty. You know, never right. mind, you know, a victim of, you know, a sexual assault or something like that. It's just, it shows you how easy it is to feel, to internalize what happens to you. You know, because I didn't even cuss because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to call the cops and say a random man did this to me. You know, I felt like, oh, it wasn't bad enough to warrant 911. Like, who's going to kill her?
Yeah, because half the time they're going to be like, okay, well, what do you want us to do?
To do. Right. You know, that's exactly what I was thinking. So I didn't call anybody. I sat there feeling so uncomfortable, so dirty. And this happened on my way to school. I'm an innocent young girl. I already looked young for my age. So I know that man's just nasty beyond nasty. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? And I was just, I just remember feeling just so dirty, you know, in that moment. So anyways,
it sounds sad to say, but like, honestly, I wish I had your experience. I wish I had your experience. I've unfortunately had a lot more aggressive and a lot more violent situations with miscellaneous random men.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the one PG one I will talk about is just, I was in high school and me and my girlfriends and just friends in general, we would walk either like up the street to like a little patty shop that was up the street or to like the pizza, or like if we were really brave, we'd walk up to the mall that was like at the end of Steeles, I think it was Pacific Mall, and we'd go for lunch hour, go buy bubble tea, go buy patties, go buy whatever. and come back. So I remember we were walking back to the school, and this car is driving, I guess, like away from us in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Winds down their window. They're yelling shit. We can't hear them. We're in our own world, whatever. So we keep walking. They then do a sharp U-turn in the street, okay, mm-hmm. on Kennedy Road. If people know Scarborough, y'all know Kennedy Road, okay? So the U-turn on Kennedy Road pulls up like right next to us and is like, hey girl, what are you saying? And it's like these grown ass men, okay? And they know we're school age mm-hmm. children because mm-hmm. we are in our uniforms. Mind you, yes, okay, we look cute, we're wearing cute little kilts or whatever, but that's not an excuse. We are clearly children.
Exactly.
Clearly children. And so we're obviously uncomfortable. Me and my girl are looking at each other like, what the fuck? And we're just ignoring them because it's like, we don't know what to do. I didn't have my fully grown, rude ass mouth at that time. So I was just ignoring. She was just ignoring. We're still walking and they're still, you know, catcalling us. And then after we didn't pay them no mind for a few minutes, they're like, fine, fuck you, you stupid whores.
Oh my God.
And then sped off. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, what the fuck? Wow. Like, we're whores wow. because we don't give you time of day. We are whores because we're not entertaining you sexually.
You're shining attention. Yeah.
Well, because the contradiction mm-hmm. made us laugh. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, we laughed it off. We went back to school. Mm-hmm. But just like, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
It just shows, like, it just really men an idea of what we deal with. And that's yeah. just a Friday. That's a Monday. That's breakfast on a Monday. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Being catcalled and all this. And
mm-hmm. I was gonna throw it. If listeners are interested in hearing the more explicit and or angrier, more violent stories that I would like to share, you can support us on Patreon. For as low as $1, we'll be uploading extra content for our listeners, including that more vile story. So, but with that being said,
yeah.
I was just saying, some men are just vile, unfortunately.
Of course.
And it's just like the group suffers for the individuals, but the individuals are so out there. And so I don't even know what the word is. Like they're so loud.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. like it eclipses all of the others.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
And to pivot off of that, I wanted to quickly just address this topic because recently a teacher, a vile man.
Oh gosh.
I don't even want to call this one, but recently wore blackface at a school in Parkdale. I believe it was Parkdale Collegiate Institute.
Mm-hmm. Say its whole name so everybody knows.
This is really disturbing to me, honest to God. Like, on what day was it? It had to be like November 1st because I'm not sure what day. I think it happened. Yeah.
It's probably on the 26th. Because the 26th was just before. No, I'm lying. Sorry, not the 26th.
Oh, it had to be. The Friday you're saying, right?
Yeah, so the 29th.
Before Halloween.
Yeah, it had to be the
29th. Yeah, no, I was trying to think. I found out. I'm like, what day did I forget about this? Well, it had to be like the 30th when I found out. But anyways, I go into work. I put in, you know, all my stuff, open up my computer. That was one of the first things in Twitter that I saw. And I was just like, what a distasteful story. What a distasteful way to start my day. It really just got under my skin. So this teacher shows up at school in blackface. Okay,
mm-hmm.
for Halloween, not even the teachers, but the other students that saw him, he went to class teaching a class. Not even like, you know, you show up and left. This man was teaching. I mean, I don't know when a teacher would show up and leave, but anyways, but this teacher is there teaching a class with this on. I don't. And think of yourself in high school, because right now I'm enraged about it. But when I think of myself, for example, my grade 9 self. I was such a little wallflower, you know, my grade 10 self. Okay. You start opening up more grade 11, grade 12, but imagine just in high school, some people are shut their whole time in high school, seeing your teacher like, I take that as an act of aggression. I don't know about you, but that to me is an act of aggression. Blackface, like, I was so upset when I saw that story.
Here's the thing. I was, okay, the way I came across it was I had opened up my Instagram and it was on my Instagram feed. And it was just like, teacher wearing blackface, whatever. And I clicked on it and I had to swipe to see the actual image or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him and I was just like, what were you trying to prove with this? What were you trying to do with this? Like, what were you, what was the accomplishment?
What was the objective? Yeah.
Yeah, what was the objective?
Like, he clearly missed the assignment. Like, he missed
the whole thing. The whole damn thing. And I'm still trying to figure it out because it's like, there was no costuming. There was, like, I'm still at a loss of trying to understand, like, what he was trying to do with all of that.
Exactly. And that's the thing. As back when Pierre Elliott Trudeau, the son, junior, I guess, I don't know. Is he a junior? No, he's not.
No, Justin Trudeau and Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau, there we go.
Yeah, no worries, girl.
Woo, that was a big one. That was a big one. It's leaving a stench in the air right now. But anyways, Justin Trudeau, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, girl, I'm screaming. But any blackface stint, a long time. I was like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, people will dig things up way back then. And when Justin, our current prime minister, he had his little stint, I felt like warning for Canada. You know what I mean? Everybody
they never learned.
Found out about that. Like, you have to be living under the law. I know. This man to do. And you're a man, you're grown. You did it in front of all these students. Students actually voiced how they felt about it. And they said
thankfully,
to him, like, what are you supposed to be? What's this, you know? What is this costume of? And he's like, oh, I just thought it would be cool. Apparently he was getting all defensive thinking it would be cool.
Of course, because I'm he like, knew he was damn wrong. He knew he was so fucking wrong. That's my thing. Because, like, I'm so thankful that this generation has so much mouth to say something, because I feel like our generation would have been very uncomfortable, and there probably would have been, like, maybe a few whispers here and there, but not necessarily have maybe the gumption to really confront them the way they needed to be confronted. So, like, I commend those students that actually opened up their mouth and said something, because that's fucking bright and feisty. And one, the sad thing is, he probably won't lose his job. He probably won't lose his job.
Of course, he's on assignment right now while they investigate.
Like, investigate what? The picture's there.
Thank you. That's exactly what I said. I'm like, investigate. There's a picture. Because anyhow, it was a student doing something foolish. They wouldn't need their time to investigate.
Of course not. Of course not. Girl, we know better.
And I just thought it was so distasteful. It's so disgusting, nasty way to even move forward. You know, I felt like,
I was gonna say, after everything that we've been through over the past 2 years,
I was just gonna say that.
Like right now people are fighting for their rights to be vaccinated, not be vaccinated, to leave the house, and this tired old gesture is what you come out of the closet with.
I couldn't believe it.
Literally,
that's the word. It's tired. Like, tired.
Girl, tired. Exhausted.
And exhausted. Just talk and to constantly have to teach people this is disgusting. It's
I'm done teaching, sorry. Girl. I never got my accreditations. I never went to teachers' college. Therefore, right. I refuse to educate people on the topic of dignity in class, okay? When I say this, I don't mean to generalize, because I love our white listeners who participate and listen to our episodes. But when white people are out here crying about, oh, people tell me I smell like mayo, people tell me I smell like wet dog, nobody's going to fucking Halloween dressed up as a wet dog saying, ha ha, I'm a white person. Like, nobody's doing this. Okay, it's nobody's so slathering themselves up and down in mayo saying, ha ha, I'm a white person. I thought it would be funny. It probably would if somebody did, but they don't. So it's like, where is the like-minded, like,
the courtesy? Compassion. Like, yeah, where is that? And I don't... And the thing is, it's even when you describe it in that way, it still won't ring for some people. You know what I mean?
Of course not. Of course not.
They still will not understand it because it's not them. But you can't, like... I'm not even going to describe... I'm not even going to say it, but you really can't...
It's exhausting to describe it, that's why.
Wear people as a costume. Like... Why yes. do we have to explain this? You can't wear people. You can't wear people. Easy. We're not clothing. We're human yeah. beings with minds, and it undermines and it dehumanizes people. So, and this is my
thing. You
know thing
what?
Too.
Actually, mm-hmm. can I just to touch on that a little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I had, I don't even want to call it a fight or an argument, but I had a debate. Okay. I had a mm-hmm. debate with the mister because. Mm-hmm. We were talking about girls who were blackfishing.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was a few more that came out in the woodworks mm-hmm. of like, you know, women who looked, you know, black, but mm-hmm. are actually white. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it, discussing about it. And at one point he had made the comment, oh, but, you know, these features are trendy now. So how can you blame somebody for wanting to be trendy? Mm-hmm. And I may have gotten a little unhinged, mm-hmm. but I got my mm-hmm. point across. So that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. But well, cause I said to him, I'm just like, yes, I understand wanting certain features like fuller lips and darker skin and stuff like that. But all of those features that me and other black women have naturally had and were never praised. We're never praised mm-hmm. and we're subject to dehumanization and to degradation and being told that we were ugly and we're monkeys and we're this and we're that and that we're not beautiful, period. So it's cute that they want to mm-hmm. get fillers and tans, but here's the real thing. At the end of the day, if they decide, guess what? They don't want those full lips anymore. They can go and dissolve the fillers. If they don't want the fucking tummy tuck or the BBL, they can go and get lipo and get that shit taken out. If they don't want the tan, mm-hmm. the tan can wash off. Those are things that cannot come off of my body. That's just who mm-hmm. I naturally am. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that's why black women and myself are so upset, because these right. are features of us that are natural that cannot be removed. So for people to pick them up and drop them off like their clothing and accessories are extremely offensive.
It is. And it's so funny. I even said that, like, that hit me deep, girl, because
no, trust me, I said it in a much more world? Succinct way. I said this in a much more succinct way. I was not that delicate when I was explaining it to him, so mm-hmm.
No, but it's true. Like, our bodies are not a trend. My body is not a trend. My features are not a fad, and it feels awkward right now, even like when in the dating world, for yeah. like random people to be like, oh yeah, those curves, oh my god, like, excuse me, I've never gotten attention for curves from anyone except black men my whole life. Now all of a sudden everybody, and not to put a race, like, I don't care, obviously anyone can appreciate right. curves, but they didn't have the boldness to say it to me before, is what I'm saying. Like, back in the day, no one said anything, and then now it's like everybody, I feel like I'm getting objectified left right now. It's not even in a good way to me,
right?
Because I yeah. don't, I've never looked for praise because, oh, you know what I mean, oh, I, put it this way, I would not be getting a BBL, you know what I mean?
I would yeah not get girl a BBL. I don't need one BBL. I don't need one, you know
what I mean? Even to say yeah. like, I wouldn't even want one, nothing back there, you know what I mean?
I'm
gosh damn, like, it's not respect. Like, when you're walking away and then you forget to say someone to somebody and you turn around and they have to look up, it's embarrassing. Things like awkwardness and like just unwanted attention from a young age, you know what I mean? Like, going
but
to
here's
high
the
school.
Thing That's not our problem. That's the thing, though. That's not our problem. And we've been raised to make it think it is our problem. It's not our fault if we are born genetically with a fat ass and a small waist, or perky boobs, or saggy boobs, or no ass, or no, like, that is not our fault. It never has been, and it never will be our fault. The problem is the promotion of men objectifying our bodies, that they have been unfortunately told most of their life that they're supposed to look at women like they're pieces of meat, like there's something to look at, that that's all we have to offer, and that we don't offer anything more than, you know, something to look at and some macaroni in the pot,
so barefoot and pregnant.
Right, like that's all we have to give, and we have nothing else to offer. So that's, take that blame off of yourself, girl. That's never
been us. It's just so surreal now that all of a sudden these features are the newest trend. I feel like I woke up out of like a 20-year slumber, and all of a sudden it's like now people see that shape. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And when I'm just so used to only our community worshiping our shape, you know what I mean? So it's just so funny to see what happens in the future, because probably a different shape is going to be robot shape next, and then everyone's going to be lining up to get their square BL to like square shape butts or something. For all we know, I'm just saying, like, you just, it's just crazy. Like, what's next? Like, it just keeps changing, right? What the world wants.
But here's the thing, though. It's like, and I'm not sure, like, because I agree with you. Growing up, I too got a lot of male attention, especially from Black men. Mm-hmm. But it was, and I agree, it wasn't the most wanted attention. Like, I always wanted to be, you know, appreciated, not just for my body, but for other things I have to offer. Like, I like to think I'm a multifaceted woman. But what I struggled with, if anything, was more of the colorism aspect. Because growing up, I thankfully had a decent amount of friends that were also like brown skin like myself, but there was also in my back of my head talking, like, just from hearing other like Black guys in school growing up or whatever talking about, and even some girls talking about, oh, I'm cute because I'm light skin, or I'm cute because I'm, you know, I'm yellow bone or whatever, or, and like seeing guys talk in the media growing up about how they want a mixed girl. Oh, I want a Spanish girl. She's exotic. She's feisty. But when a Black girl gives you attitude, she's mad and miserable. But when a Spanish girl does it, it's caliente and it's sexy.
Because they don't understand all the curse words.
I guess. But it's just like, it's just, I don't know. For me, it wasn't even like I became almost numb to the fact that, like, people are like, oh my gosh, you got a big butt. Yeah, I know. Okay, next. Like, you know? Literally, girl, to the point, like, when people would meet me, like, the first thing they notice is my butt. And I would jokingly say, I'm like, yeah, you should rename it City of Toronto, because the way people just think that they own it, the way they touch it all the time. Think it's property of the city. And people would be like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, yeah, ha, 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 ha. And just stare at them back, and they're like, ooh. But, like, yeah, it just makes them feel so awkward.
Yeah. Don't kill me.
Yeah, but if anything, the colorism kind of stung to me a bit more. The whole colorism thing. Yeah.
And that is very true, too. Like, they're definitely... was a colorism aspect. Honestly, at my school, there was colorism too. Girl, we colorized. I was busy colorizing the men, though, so I can't. No, girl.
Yikes!
I remember being like, "Which one's cute? This one's cute. That one's cute." But the thing is, like, I was not so much into the colorism with the girls, because I had like my one girl dog who also was dark skinned like me, and we just, you know what I mean, so I never really got into that with the comparing with guys and whatnot, and me and her just kind of ourselves, like, whatever, this guy's cute, that guy's cute, and I never, when it came to colorism, there really wasn't to be honest, like, where I did, I'm trying to correct my thoughts, guys. I'm so sorry, because I'm just trying to think back. It's way back. I'm getting old now. I'm like, I did colorize, because I dated one light skin, and I only dated him because he was light skin, just to see what it was like.
Wow.
Because, and he was like the village bicycle. Like, every girl was trying him.
You're like, my turn.
Yeah. Literally, I'm like, I'm passing him this one around. You know? I'm like, all right, fine, I'll try it out. You know? Mm. And that was it. And then you just realize that everyone's just, we're all just people. You know what I mean? We're all just this. Doesn't matter who's light, dark, whatever. We're all just different individuals trying to make our way and just live life. You know what I mean? So I was happy after that little experience, because I was like, this guy, he's a nerd. He's, there's nothing special. Like, you know, when you think, you might think there's something, you know, anyways.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I maybe had like a weird experience like that, but it was more of like the opposite end of like knowing, like, I already kind of knew he was community dick. So I didn't.
Okay, girl, there was no dick involved.
No, I'm not. Okay, situation. Sorry.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm not trying to imply that you fucked the guy. I'm sorry. That's my term for them. That's my term for the gallus, them. The term for the gallus, yeah. Girls, community dick. But, this, like, girls would be like, oh, he's cute, he's this, he's that, whatever. And, like, he would try to hit on me. I would always let him think that, like, he had a small chance. And I'm like, change my mind. And then he, like, just almost like cat and mouse. But, like, I never really liked him like that to really want him, if that makes sense. But, like, the weird thing was the one time where I was like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm going to give him a chance. Girl, once he pulled that shit out, I was like, never again. Cancel. Rejected. Mm-hmm. Like, you delete from my mind. Like, if I could use the Men in Black, like, the little flashlight to forget it, girl, I would.
Yeah,
I would.
I don't blame you. Mm-mm. And are you never serious?
Yeah, never worth it. Mm-mm. Girl, womp, womp.
Is that like, now that I'm thinking into the whole colorism aspect,
yeah,
this is more of like a light kind of version, but it was just an uncomfortable situation I remember I was in. And I think, I can't remember how old I was. Maybe I was like 16, maybe 15. Yeah, 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. But anyways, when I was that age, I was so like, for example, community D, I was so virginal back in those days. I was a virgin first off, and I just was not very, I would say, oh, that one's cute, whatever, but I was not serious, you know what I mean? I was never business about any guys and like, let's go and
for sure
chill with this.
I'm just saying, disclaimer, this all happened between the ages of 17 and 19. I didn't actually spread for this man until I was like closer to 19, and I regret it.
Oh no. And I'm not and I'm not saying that to say anything on you, but you're just giving your disclaimer, no worries. I love the disclaimers. This is gonna be an episode full of disclaimers, y'all.
Yep.
But so I was very like, you know, shy and demure, okay, at those times, and naive. I just didn't even know. So I had a girlfriend who was a little bit more, you know, out there, experienced, you know, had already lost her virginity out there, you know, guys and whatever. She made a comment, and she is not a part of the Black community. This is my first kind of colorism with like a girl mentioning it, because I never had a man. I just had never been around guys that had said anything like that disrespectfully around me. You know what I mean? Yeah, it just didn't occur. Right. Just, you know, just by the luck of the draw, I haven't ran into that. But amen. This girl goes to me, oh, I was talking to this Black guy. He goes to me, oh, you know, and he's Black. He goes, Black front? I don't want Black front. That thing looks like roast beef. Da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, what? I remember just being like, first off, why is this a topic? You know what I mean? And second off, like, it just disgusted me, because I'm like, the amount of self-loathing you have to say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and then I'm looking at her like, sis, where are you going with this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where are you really going with it? But that was my first time hearing that even Black men are out here dogging their own like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, girl,
I'm like, how confused do you have to be? How confused do you have to be dogging your own mom, really and truly, because you came out of a roast beef, honey? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, I'll never forget when a friend told me she was hanging out with another friend of hers who was a Black man, and mm-hmm. she would see him date different women, and she noticed that he would treat the white girls different than how he would treat the Black girls. And she called him out on it and said, how come you're doing this? Like, I've noticed this for a while. Why do you keep doing this? And he said to her, because Black girls aren't used to being treated this nice, so I don't have to do it. Whereas Mm-mm. white girls, you have to keep up a certain type of, a certain type of standard.
Yeah.
A certain type of standard. And I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-mm. And that's just lazy. That just shows that a man, I don't want to say a man, but some people, if you set the bar low enough, trust me, they will crouch.
Girl, you know the bar is 6 feet under. To me, the bar is 6 feet under.
They're lazy, though. That is just lazy. No, against your own.
Girl, I will use the term of the year that I've learned and that I've witnessed: performative incompetence. No, I'm serious. If you let them, they will do the least amount of work possible. Now, I'm not telling people to make other people jump through hoops and do the most to receive the least. I'm not discrediting that one bit. But, like, if you keep relenting your standards to meet their performative lack of standards... Mm-hmm. Girl, that bar is going to be so far under the ground, it's going to reach the other side of the globe.
Of course, it'll come before you out China. Yeah,
right. Like, and it's just like, that's all I can say. It's just like, if you notice that somebody's not treating you well for whatever personal reason that they have, that's their business. But girl, don't stay. Guy, don't stay.
Right. Don't expect it to get better. It's the truth. And that's the sad truth, that things will most likely get worse before they ever get better. You know? So
I feel like a lot of people have this mindset that, like, if they're, and I can attest to it because I used to be like this. You think if you stay with the person long enough, if you put up with certain amounts of bullshit long enough and compromise your standards long enough, that they will change and become the person you want them to be.
Right, right.
You know, if I do this, or if I do that, or fine, I'll put up with this, or da 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 da, because maybe the one time I expect them to step up, they'll step up for me, and they never will.
And it's like,
never
will.
Or
you're just such a happy person, and you the best in people. And it's so sad because when good people are just good and giving and giving and giving and giving, you're eventually teaching that person that you are so good, they can always expect you to be good. You know what I mean? Like, you're they use it against you at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they weaponize your own kindness. They use your kindness as weakness. They weaponize it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the biggest scary. Like, fuck, because I used to be such a good girl. Trust me,
girl. You preach it to the choir.
So good, and
preaching to the choir.
When you realize your own good feeding the monster, their feet getting stronger for their evil off of it. Oh my god, that's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. So.
Girl, you're feeding a beast. I'm telling you. Trust me. And it's like, I don't even wrap up. Yeah, no, for sure. I want to just wrap it up with saying, I guess, just even touching on this topic, don't compromise your standards. There's a difference between having standards and deal breakers and just being nitpicky. There's certain there's certain standards that you shouldn't compromise. If you're used to, if you want to have, like, for example, go out on a date once or twice a week, that should be your standard. The person should be able to meet you there. You should, and like, versus, like, for example, a deal breaker, if somebody's a smoker and you don't like smokers, okay, that's different. That's just, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm telling anybody who's used to a certain standard and expectations in a partner, don't compromise that because somebody's cute or because you think that they might change or whatever. Girl, cold notes, TLDR, they will not. Don't do it.
It's so true. When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe it.
Amen.
Believe them. That's the biggest takeaway. And for me, like, believe them the first time. And trust me, life is not a rehearsal. This isn't the rehearsal. It's the real thing. So take your life seriously and your self-respect, you know, do what you have to do, right?
For sure. For sure. And just tying it back to the very beginning, if you know a person or witness a person in crisis, do not be afraid to connect with them to see if you can help. Do not be afraid to look for resources to help. They exist. Mm-hmm. They are all over our city, all over the GTA, all over the country. There is no shame in asking for help. There is no shame in fleeing domestic violence and abuse.
Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in being a victim or a survivor or anyone being related to someone affected by abuse, because statistics show that we all know somebody right now who has either dealt with abuse or is dealing with abuse.
Absolutely.
So any one of us could be next. So we're all one, and, you know, we just have to support each other and be there for each other.
Absolutely.
But and, yes, and let's close I'm out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just want to throw in just one resource, at least for the province of Ontario. It's the Ontario Women's Justice Network. Their number is 416-392-3135. And that's it.
Yes. And thank you so much for listening to us. One half of your host at The Hill Diva on Instagram.
And I am the other half, ola.miss.lola on Instagram. And this has been another episode of This Black Girl Podcast.
Yes, and as usual, if you have anything to add to anything we've said today, if you want to correct us, we welcome all of that. If you want some smoke to give us, send that straight to our inbox.
Puff, pass
it into our inbox at Amen. This Black Girl Podcast on Instagram. All right, and have a great day, everybody, and we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.